My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time for today's travel and cruise industry news. With the latest from travel and cruises around the world, here's your host, Chili Falls.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Monday's Travel and Cruise Industry News podcast. On this 22nd day of April, with a special guest this morning, which I'll get to in a minute. We have several news stories today, folks, which I'll get to later on in the show. The main story this morning is Carnival Paradise Rescue. This one was a little bit different than many we've seen lately. Also today, Star Princess cruises canceled. Delivery of Queen Anne. Free parking in Dover. I like it. I might have trouble driving to Dover, though. Christine Duffy honored. Second new bill underway for Adora. Chief Dog on Star of the Seas. And a fatal ferry accident. And lots more live here at 11 o'clock today. Man, we got a full show today, folks. Today is National Jelly Bean Day. I can do without. And I think it's probably the consistency thing that, you know, just like I don't like gummy bears. That gummy, just not my idea of a good time. But you're more than welcome to go eat all the jelly beans you want. If you're listening via the podcast, you can always access the podcast via my blog, which is accessadventure.net. Or wherever you get your podcasts from, all the big guys, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Podchaser, Apple Podcasts, any of them. Just search for Travel and Cruise Industry News, and up pops the Fat Travel Guy. Anytime you're listening to the podcast, if you ever want to jump over to the video feed, like today would be a good day, to see an interview, for instance, or clips or pictures that I might be using on that day show, there's always a link in the description of the podcast so you can do just that. So, today, sometimes I'm at a loss for words on how to introduce my guest today. He's been my partner. He's been my advisor. He's a sounding board for all of some of my wacky doodle ideas. We have a lot of the same interests. He's clearly become my best friend. Now, without any further ado, here's amigo John Reitmeier from up there in Crookston, Minnesota, who's over in someplace in Germany. Amigo John, welcome back to the podcast.
Always fun to be on there with you, Chili. It's, you know, we go back so many years now. That's what's funny is that, you know, there's been a lot of water flowing under the bridge since our first time together.
It sure is. Yeah. So, and you're getting older all the time.
Don't tell me about it, dude. I do pretty good when I get going, but stairs are really a hindrance for me now. And, you know, that's you have two choices. You know, you can travel in the new world where it's all flat, level, and elevators, or you can go see the things that are really important historically, but you're going to have to put up with a little bit of irritation. And we've just done Florence. You know, we did Florence for almost a week. Now we're in southwestern Germany. We're just a few miles from the border to France. And today we've been out looking at my travel partner on this trip is, you know, an importer, exporter of, I don't like to use the word exotic, but really cool cars, you know, Alphas and Peugeots and Mercedes and all that kind of thing. And so we hit some car dealerships this morning that he wants to make friends with, and also had, you know, a nice stop at what's called an Imbus. The word Imbus is sort of like our generic word for 7-Eleven. It's just a handy little store that has, but here they all have fresh food. And I got my bratwurst and my pommes frites, my french fries, and we're having bratwurst again for supper tonight, and I don't care because I just love bratwurst. So
yeah.
So it's all right.
We'll be completely transparent on this. John is in my community of disabled or partially disabled folk. He uses a walker. Now, it's a nice walker. If John gets tired, he can just turn the thing around and plop his butt down and rest a bit. I know, because I have one just like it. If I'm not in my chair, I have to use the same walker. The only difference is John actually can walk further than I can, which is a good thing. So we wanted to talk this morning about what accessibility John has found. Now, so let's go back to the beginning of this trip, John. You left Crookston, Minnesota. You went over to Grand Forks and got on a
Fargo
crop duster. You went to Fargo and got on a crop duster and flew over the beet fields and on to Chicago. Was that pretty close to Rockford?
Yes, I mean, that's exactly right. Fargo's a we have two airports, Grand Forks, but that Grand Forks is the Delta side of things. And then Fargo is the United side, and I have to be on a United run this trip. And so we, of course, Fargo Airport, you know, it's four gates, but I think three of them are just shut down. They just have them for show, you know, because we're always in and out of number four. And it's just, it's easy. I mean, there's good elevators. And so if you're coming into Fargo and you have any abilities, folks, it's just all flat and level, as the country is, you know. Fargo's, well, from my house to Grand Forks, 25 miles, it drops 44 feet in 25 miles. That's the change of elevation.
Yeah.
So it's just really flat. Then got to Chicago, and Chicago really needs to have a pat on the back because, you know, when I finally had to start using the walker and was getting help in the airports, Chicago, that's got to be going back for 9 years now, 8-9 years. Chicago was not very good. I would tell you if you could avoid Chicago, but they have stepped up and they do really well, but they do not have one of the things that the European airports, no matter how small, have. And that's, you know, for instance, when we arrived in Rome, they tell you just wait on the plane, you know, let everybody else get off, which I'm happy to do. I can't understand why a partially abled person would try and, you know, get to the front of the plane. It's just like kick back, because when they say they're ready for you, you go to the front of the plane, and instead of turning left to either go through the tube or down the big staircase, you go to the right. And it looks like one of those food trucks that they lift the box up, you know, to put the food in the, except it's all glass, or mostly glass. And it's got a front deck on it, and they just walk you into this box perfectly level. You might have a 3-inch change of elevation as you're stepping from the plane to the box. And there's seats in the box, or you can sit on your walker or your chair like you have. And then they back away from the plane a little bit, and the box goes, and all of a sudden you're right down on the ground level. And then it's a variety of things that they might do at that time. Sometimes they take the whole box, drive around the backside of the airport, and you end up right at baggage drop. Stopping, of course, at customs, you know, immigration, you stop and get your thing stamped. But that's just a walkthrough now. They seem to trust Americans, and we love them for that. But, or sometimes they will take that box and just take it over to, like, you know, where the airport is, you know, the long concourse that you'd go through, and somebody meets you with a wheelchair, and they just wheel you through with that. Well, that's what happened to me this trip in Rome, and Dusty was along with me, of course, because he's traveling with me, and they're just super kind, and a gal says, I'm going to take care of you, you know, till you leave the airport. Well, I said, well, I'm leaving by getting the, you know, almost a kilometer distance to this train station and getting on a train. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. And she took care of me through immigration and customs, down to get my bags, back up again on a tunnel that goes over, you know, the driving, and then about a kilometer's walk, which is 0.6 miles, and then to the train station where she got us the train tickets just instantly that we needed. And then she had to drop us at the head of the tracks, because over there, regular people, just like you can't go in an airport and go up to the gate, regular people can't go down the paths to the trains anymore. But she said, you know, you're in car number 9, you're in seats 13 and 14, and I wish you well. And, you know, here, let me give you some money. Nope, it's a service. Welcome to Rome, just as nice as could be. And wow. Dusty, of course, is just, you know, we pass by 1,000 people waiting at immigration. We pass by 300 people waiting for train tickets. And just as nice as it could be, we got in the train 2.5 hours later. We're in Florence, met Henry, had a wonderful week there. And so many things were great. Now, I do want to tell you, if you're going to the Dome, that'll be our second conversation here. The Dome in Florence, called the Domo. That's the Italian word for dome. Dome means where the cathedral, where the bishop lives and holds his services. But there's like at the Vatican, there's an unmarked door. And the only way to find it is where you buy the tickets to go to the top of the dome. It's a big square, and the dome sits in the middle of the square. And on one corner of it, if the church was like a regular church in America, you know, there's an altar up at the front, and then the nave is really long. If you're looking at the altar, it would be at the right front of the church. Across from there is the ticketing where you buy $25 tickets to walk 500 steps to the dome. I did not do that. But across, and this is actually, that's a different church completely. This is a tiny little church. This is not the Duomo. But the big, big dome, you go to where the tickets are and you walk straight over to the church, and there's an unmarked door that talks about no entry and things. And you just open that door or wait till somebody's coming out, and there'll be a gentleman there, and you just say, we'd like to come in. They just point to my walker. Henry's really good at it. And the guy just, you know, says, come. And he takes you in and runs you through the same thing like airport screening, because of course these things are so valuable that they do a little bit of like an airport screening. But I'm telling you, in 30 seconds, we're in and have complete access to the ground level of the church. It was unbelievable. And there it is, that's looking up to the big dome. And believe it or not, there's a this is the inside part of the dome, and then there's the outside part of the dome. And there's a staircase that goes between it that takes you all the way to the top of the dome. I, of course, did not go up there. But this is the inside of the Duomo in Florence, and it is absolutely wonderful. That's the two organ chambers, left and right. Now, looking straight ahead, you see just a brown cloth there. That actually is being redone. That's going to be giant stained glass again, but that little piece is being redone. But just an unbelievable experience to be in the Duomo. Lots of things to read and see. If you can do a staircase, you can go down to the basement where the crypts and things are. But of course, I didn't do that. And you go back out, and you know, and you're easily passing 1,200, 1,500 people in line. And so thankful that, you know, I couldn't do it, Chile. I couldn't stand there, sitting there waiting in line to do these things. If that's the rule that you have to have, I respect it. I don't expect anything special, but I can't do it. And yet I'm able to. Now, the Vatican, you know, we've had that story, the Duomo, unbelievably wonderful. The next place that we would talk about, there's a giant food market. And if you watch Stanley Tucci's Florence show, he really speaks highly of it. I would tell you that as any kind of an ability-able challenge person, skip it. Skip it for two reasons. The main floor is where the restaurateurs and the food service people come to buy food in bulk. The people floor is up like a good 20 feet. The elevator didn't work. We took the escalator up, but we couldn't take it back down. I had to, you know, sort of like hang onto the railings and kind of carefully do one side step at a time to get down. If it would have been really phenomenal experience, I would tell you, well, make a judgment. But, you know, they had 50 food places. Some of the meals were $50. Everything was expensive. My chicken was dry. The beef that a friend had was not good. I can tell you that skip it. There's so many things to do in Florence that are on the ground level, friendly to those of us that are on wheels. Just skip the place. Then tried to go to the bathroom. I'm telling you, imagine a closet in your house with a corner on the side of it and three urinals. That's the only bathroom that's available to the public on that floor. A lady was using one of the urinals when I was in there.
Wow.
So, you know, you just don't want to, jokingly he says it, but I mean it. You don't want to get caught with your pants down. You know what I'm saying? And so skip the food court. It wasn't worth it for the quality of the products we got. The only thing that was fun is they had a piano there, and I did sit down and do about 20 minutes on the piano and got an ovation at the end. So if you want to go and perform in Florence, you can hit the piano in the food court. Other than that, you know, restaurants went out of their way for us. It was just great. The other thing you need to know about Florence is all the sidewalks and all the streets were built before America became a country. And they're all built with cobblestones of varying sizes. And I couldn't imagine if you were sitting in a chair like you do, but pushing the walker around, it was dunk, 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 all the time. And it was very frustrating that way. And they have a lot of little electric buses now that are in the downtown area, which is great. But those buses have the same experience on the streets. And I'm telling you, you're in the bus and it's like tong, 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 tong. And so just make sure you know that about Florence if you're going and if you think it's worth it to see. Departing on the Florence Airport is small, maybe 15 gates. Excellent. I was taken care of. I was put around the backside. They drove me to the back of the plane, went in the box, went up to the plane. I was sat down and drinking a Coke before the plane opened the doors to be boarding people. It was, again, Florence Airport, a 10 out of a 10. Absolutely spectacular. Flew to Frankfurt. Frankfurt, of course, I say this jokingly, but, you know, you're just not going to have a better experience than the Frankfurt Airport if you need special services. There's no other way to say it. I mean, they came and got me. They got me down on the ground. They put me in a special van. The van drove for 20 minutes behind airplanes, like right out on the tarmac, to drop me right at the baggage claim. Now, sadly, a mistake, but the guy dropped me at the wrong baggage claim, and it took us a little while to sort that out. My mistake. I should have stayed with him. You know, I said, oh, I can handle it from here because I know the Frankfurt Airport, and I know that Jan's right outside waiting for me, and you know, and ultimately, the bags were supposed to come in on A1, and they came in on B16, and so, but that, again, my fault. If I'd have held him with me, till I got my bag, it would all been taken care of. But I thought I was, you know, I thought, oh, I can do this. Don't do that, folks. Don't. No matter how comfortable you think you are, especially after a 9-hour flight, you know, I could hardly walk. I was dehydrated. And the last thing I needed was, but that's, again, my fault, not the airport's fault. The guy made a slight mistake that could have been corrected once if I'd have kept him with me. So, again, no harm, no foul. We've drove out here, just a wonderful time now at Jan's place. Fabian's coming out in a day or two. We will ultimately end up back at the Frankfurt Airport flying to Chicago and Chicago to Fargo, and I'll be home next Sunday night. So you're all welcome to my house for dinner next Sunday night.
Okay, I hear you. Well, I'll be home then? I don't know.
You're on your way. What's your next outing? When are you leaving?
Yeah, I'll leave Wednesday. Right after the show Wednesday, I'll jump in the car and drive. I'm hoping to like Brunswick, Georgia.
Okay.
And then I'll stay in Brunswick, and then I just have a hour and a half to Jacksonville.
Oh, wonderful.
Get on the Carnival Elation.
Remember, I do have a genetic brother in Jacksonville. So if something should happen that's a problem, we got boots on the ground for you there. So.
Well, and I've got Roger.
And Roger's there too. And hi, Roger. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Roger, you bet. Roger's in the audience, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Roger's in Jacksonville too. So.
Yeah, so you're covered there, and you're getting on the Elation then. That's the Carnival Elation.
Yes, I am. First,
and you know where have you been on it?
I've not been on Elation. I've been on all the other ships of that class by Carnival.
Okay.
And I've never been out of Jacksonville before. So
you're going to go into a big, you know,
two bucket lists.
They have to have the Elation there because it's the only Carnival ship that can go under the bridge to get out to the ocean.
Well, that's pretty close. Yep.
But the Elation was great. I had an incredibly, we were guests on the Elation of Carnival Cruise when I was in the travel agency business, and I had two wonderful meals and lots of fun. But it's an older ship. It's a smaller ship. You know, there isn't going to be 127 things to do. But I thought the rooms were neat and nice. And I think you'll have a good time. Carnival is what it is. And we know that for all you first time listeners, there are, I guess you can, you know, like a pyramid, you can put different ship lines, first of all, and then the categories of ships in the lines. But, you know, you can put them, you can stack them up because they have different things. And Carnival does what Carnival does, and they do it really well. It's not my thing, but I have no criticism of them at all because they got it figured out. You know, I'm much more of a Norwegian guy. You are Love Holland America, of course, and I've never been on a HA ship, but I understand that's a whole nother level up. And lobster every night, folks. Lobster every night. No.
Don't tell them that because that's not true. But yeah, you get good lobster, that's for sure.
In your mind, I mean, I've never had lobster on a Norwegian cruise. I've been on 12 of them now. Lobster's never been offered once.
Oh, really?
No. That was always the thing is, you know, that when you're from Minnesota, you believe that, you know, the lobsters are actually climbing the side of the ship just to get into the dining room. And I've never had lobster on a Norwegian cruise ever. It's not a complaint, but I mean, it's just, you know, that just like the midnight buffet. Have you ever hit in modern cruising? Have you ever hit a midnight buffet?
Well, I don't have them anymore.
They don't have them anymore. Now, Norwegian has the crepes, though, at midnight. They have a crepe station, and they'll make you Nutella or strawberry or banana crepes at midnight. And that's wonderful, too. But it's just funny the perceptions that we have about a place. And then, you know, what you really find. But
see, remember, I'm old enough that I started cruising with the midnight buffet. With all
actually, you started
ice
you,
carvings and you know, all that stuff. They were great.
You started cruising when you had to take your turn on the oars, man.
Well, of course. Yeah, that's how I became such a big, strong guy.
Well, that's right. Yeah, he was a two-oar guy, you know. Matter of fact, he was doing that one day and somebody said, hey, Chili, are those your oars? And he goes, those ain't oars. Them's my sister.
That's terrible, John.
I got to get one joke in. I got to do it.
Terrible sense of humor. All right, I have to go to work now. You've been running your mouth for how long?
I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, if you're listening to this and you're not cruising or you're not traveling because you have some ability challenges, if nothing else, get a hold of Chili or me. We've been there. We've done it. Ask me about Europe. Don't ask me about Asia. Don't ask me about South America. Don't ask me about Africa. But, you know, whether we're talking Dusseldorf, Berlin, Munich, Frankfurt, Zurich, Switzerland, Bern, Switzerland, Rome, Florence, Barcelona, Portugal, ask us. We've been there. We've done it. We want to see that you have a wonderful time, and Chili's the man to do it.
All right. John, as always, my friend, thank you. And have fun tonight with the dinner there at the house.
Bratwurst.
Good evening. All right, John.
See
we'll
everybody.
Talk to you soon. That's, bye. Of course, John Reitmeier. That's my pal. Oh, my God, I love John to death. All right, I'll be back with some news, folks, after a quick break from one of our network sponsors.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, before we get to the news, folks, we do have a couple other things that we need to take care of today. That's a plane sailing over Pittsburgh Jason and the Azores. So, I appreciated that one. And let's see, what else do we have here? Let's see, do I have anything else from Pittsburgh Jason? Let me see here. Well, that was John eating bratwurst. And I knew there was something else from Jason. Jason got a box of cookies delivered to his cabin. I had no idea why he got the box of cookies, but there it is. So he and Jen had some cookies to snack on. So Hot Air Tom goes out to a winery. Now, this is how he got there. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Plenty of room.
Don't worry. Don't worry. We go eat out of the
way. We missed the box.
Has he been back here before?
Yeah, don't worry. It's okay.
Yeah, a little bit of of a drop off there, folks.
And then there was another car behind him.
On a bus.
And then
All right. That's hot air Tom going to a winery. And then, of course, he gets to the winery and he can't help himself. He starts drinking wine like crazy. And let's see. Where did it go? It's up here. Yeah. So he starts drinking wine. And that's John eating bratwurst. That's, I showed you that. There we go. There's hot air Tom. So he finishes up his glass of wine and he says, I got to have some more. So he did that and he drank enough wine. He got back on the boat and had to get in the hot tub. And as you'll notice, he's a little toasted there in the hot tub. But that's after he drank a bunch of wine. Then he actually had a problem. That's, of course, that's the boat. The Norwegian Escape is in Barcelona. Kind of looks like Miami, doesn't it? But anyway, he's in there. And they were supposed to leave at, you know, a normal time. They didn't get out of there until like 10:30 at night. Because they were bunkering and I guess had to stand in line to get the boat filled up. So it was, hours late getting out of there, and he had an 8-hour tour scheduled today in Cannes, and they canceled all the tours today because they were so late leaving Barcelona last night. So he was grumbling about that today. And let's see, what else do we have here this morning? Oh, we got Elizabeth on location. She's down there someplace down there in the Cozumel vicinity. I never can tell where she is. Out in the sun, drinking some mojitos. So that's Elizabeth. With a little misbehaving down there. All right, so let's get on with starting with the news today. How about that, folks? The lead story today, folks, comes from our friends at Carnival. Yesterday, on the first full day of recurrent sailing, Carnival Paradise spotted a small boat signaling for assistance. The ship immediately turned to render aid, bringing aboard 27 Cuban nationals from the overcrowded boat. The incident happened approximately 20 miles southeast of La Coelos, the westernmost point in Cuba. Carnival Paradise was enjoying a day at sea as the ship sailed toward Roatan, Honduras, for a scheduled port visit today. All individuals were brought safely aboard the ship and provided emergency care while official authorities were notified regarding the next steps. The wooden boat was in poor condition with what appeared to be a makeshift sail, though it was not in use. With 27 individuals aboard, the boat was overcrowded and was not carrying adequate supplies for those aboard. Princess Cruises and shipbuilder Fincantieri today announced the mutual decision to postpone the delivery of Star Princess following a comprehensive review of the remaining construction milestones. Both parties have elected to adjust the ship's delivery from July 29, 2025 to September 26, 2025, which will result in the cancellation of 9 sailings. Cunard's new Queen Anne, set to enter service in early May, has officially delivered to the line during a handover ceremony at Fincantieri's Marghera shipyard near Venice. The ship will join Cunard's existing fleet, which includes Queen Mary II, Queen Elizabeth, and Queen Victoria. Although Queen Anne will sail her inaugural voyage on May the 3rd, a 7-night round trip cruise from Southampton to Lisbon, her christening ceremonies will not be held until June the 3rd in Liverpool, England. Are you a Norwegian Epic fan? If you are, why not join me on a cruise with Chili, NCL Epic, transatlantic from New York to Rome, sailing March 31st. It's a fantastic itinerary, stopping in Bermuda, Ponta Delgada, Lisbon, Barcelona, Cannes, Florence, Naples, and ending in Rome. Starts at $1,683 per person, double occupancy. That includes taxes and port charges. That's the Transatlantic NCL Epic, sailing March 31st from New York. Call me. In the UK, Fred Olsen Cruise Lines is set to provide an enticing offer of free parking to passengers who choose to embark on their 2024 cruise from Dover between June and August. The promotion also includes up to €210 per person and credit to be used on board with sailings on the cruise line's Borealis, which can accommodate up to 1,300 passengers. Christine Duffy, president of Carnival Cruise Line, has been honored with the 2024 CLIA Lifetime Achievement Award and was inducted into the CLIA Hall of Fame. The award was presented during the CLIA Hall of Fame Cruise Industry Awards. Adora Cruises launched the first ever Chinese-built cruise ship, Adora Magic City, less than 6 months ago in January. But Adora isn't stopping to enjoy its accomplishment. Instead, the new brand is also well on its way to completing its second domestically built ship, which will be even bigger and better than the first and will further establish the Yung Cruise Line's presence in China. Adora's newest addition, which thus far is unnamed, has been transferred to Shanghai Waigaoqiao Shipbuilding Company, a subsidiary of China State Shipbuilding Corporation, to kick construction into high gear. So far, the only steel has been cut, and the first keel has been laid, so the ship still has a long way to go before it's completed. Author Ivan Cox is delighted to announce a comical cruise in the Caribbean to celebrate his hilarious novel, Cruise Ship Doctor. The Norwegian epic will depart from Port Canaveral on November the 16th, for a rollicking 7-day cruise through the Caribbean, where Cox will read from Cruise Ship Doctor and regale passengers with humorous behind-the-scenes true anecdotes from his adventures as a cruise ship doctor. The Cruise Ship Doctor Cruise, sailing November 16th from Port Canaveral. Prices start at $639. For double occupancy, and solo start at $1,049 plus taxes and port charges. Join us on November 16th from Port Canaveral for the Cruise Ship Doctor Cruise. Following the outstanding popularity of Rover, the chief dog officer of Icon of the Seas, Royal Caribbean has announced that the second Icon class ship, Star of the Seas, will also have its own chief dog officer on board. The furry member of the crew family will be named Sailor and will set sail with the ship when it launches in late August 2025. Reports indicate that a wooden ferry carrying 300 or more passengers on the Poco River in Bangui, Central African Republic, sank purportedly en route to a funeral. Witnesses recount the vessel's gradual collapse, prompting immediate response from local boat operators and fishermen. Adrian Masamo, one of the fishermen involved in rescue efforts, reported the recovery of 20 bodies prior to military intervention. According to Civil Protection Head Thomas Jamasi, rescuers retrieved 58 bodies from the water, but added they didn't know the total number of people who were underwater. Reports indicate that. There we go. And that's going to end today's portion of the news. So I get screwed up all the time. All right, so let's go over and see who's fussing at me in the chat room and if I did anything wrong today, which would not be unusual. Elizabeth is with us. Buenos dias, Elizabeth. Another gorgeous sunny day in Cozumel. Mike's here. Hi, Mike. Steve's with us from Kentucky. Gary's with us from Florida. Bella Smith, you're looking good. Thank you, Bella. Roger's with us down in Jacksonville. Ah, celebrating Nikki's birthday today with the kids. That's cool. Well, she'll be in my thoughts today, Roger. Emily's with us. Says hello, Chili and gang. And John. Popping in for a moment. Yeah, she doesn't stay long. And here's one that I'd have trouble saying. Ada Connell, marvelous, saying hello. Hello to you. Emily is multitasking. That could be dangerous. Elizabeth says, good to see you again, John. John, you can keep the lobster. Emily, there's something wrong with you, girl. Not liking lobster. Oh, my God. I love lobster. Don't tell Maine. Yeah, I know. Todd's with us. Good morning, Todd. Great show today. Thank you. Always appreciate your compliments, Todd. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for today. Tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to interview Frank Bubba Schumard on everything Holland America and his anniversary coming up Wednesday on the Drink of the Day website that he started years ago now. I mean, I think it's 2,500 drinks of the day that he's posted. A bunch. So we're going to interview John about that. Bubba about that. And he will appear on Wednesday. Wednesday morning, the show will be at its normal time. I'll be coming to you from a McDonald's probably. Somewhere on the road. I'm going to get as much taping done as I can and jump in the car and leave and get on down the road a bit because I've got a little bit further to drive on Wednesday than I like to drive because I want to get as close as possible to Jacksonville for Thursday. On Thursday morning, I will be doing the show, but it's going to be early. How early? I don't know. Because I've got to figure on getting to Jacksonville about 12 o'clock. Or, you know, a little earlier than that because I got to park and all those things. So a little different schedule for the next couple days. And then Friday, I will be as a normal schedule on the ship. So show Friday will be normal. And then let me think. Monday. I don't remember what I'm doing Monday. I'll announce that as we get to it. All right, guys. That's going to wrap it up for today. Again, my thanks to John for his wonderful report from Europe on what some of you that are mobility challenged will have to deal with. I mean, even down to what Florence is like, what the streets and sidewalks are like in Florence. I've been through some places that have cobblestones that are hell to roll over. So that's good to know. Again, my thanks to John, and my thanks to each and every one of you guys for being here. Don't forget, smash that thumbs up button. That'll help the channel out a lot. If you haven't subscribed, please consider doing so. We're up to 5505 or something like that this morning. So we're on our way to 10,000 subscribers by next Tuesday. So I'll wrap it up for today, guys. As always, stay safe, stay healthy, think about cruising, and hopefully one day soon we'll all get together on the high seas. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow. Oh, hi, Katie. See you tomorrow.
I regularly post videos on all facets of the travel and cruise industry, so if you like to keep up with the latest in cruise ships, ports of call, cruises themselves, Chilly Chats, and travel and cruise industry news, just hit the little subscribe button in the lower right-hand corner, hit the bell notification so you'll be notified when a new video is up or we go live. This video was produced by Chili's Cruises.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.